In Luke chapter 15, the theme of this chapter, as you've been looking through it, has been lost. And we saw the lost sinners, the lost sheep, and the lost silver. And we get this last section, we saw the lost son, but there's two lost sons. And we're going to look at the second one today. 32 verses, 725 words, all inspired of God, kept forever in our King James Bible. This chapter, at a 5.9 grade level, we're going to pick up reading at verse 25. The Bible says, now his elder son, remember we had the younger son master his inheritance, and he gave him all, he divided it right then between both boys. They both got everything that was coming to them. The younger son left, he went down the far country, and just like everybody goes out in the far country, they have to pay their own way. And once they get out there and have to pay their own way, and they pay for everybody else's way, they lose all their friends. You lose your money, you lose your friends. Very simple. You don't have to believe me, go do it. Once you spend all your money, they're done with you.
Yeah.
And then it says, his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Why was there music and dancing? That younger brother had come back. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that he should make merry, that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. In case you hadn't figured out, both these boys is lost. You've got five times this chapter, back in verse 4, lost. Verse 6, lost. Verse 9, lost. And you get up here to this guy, verse 24, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. In verse 24, and then verse 32, he was lost and is found. So what we have is we got two lost sons. One gets saved over here when he realizes he had to come to the end of himself. Now, you don't have to go all the way to the hog pen to get saved. But some of us had to. Some of us had to be on the bottom looking straight up before we'd ever look up. God's got a way of getting you there. He's got a way of transporting you to where you need to be, where he needs to get in touch with you. Some folks, it's easier to reach than others, but God knows how to reach everybody.
Right.
But as we look at this day, I want to preach to you on this thought today of the bitter brother. The bitter brother. And this, of course, is the bitter brother in verse 25 to verse 32, this older brother, or the elder brother, he called the elder son. And we see the characteristics of somebody that's a bitter brother. If you'll hold your place here and look over at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. See, there's a thing about this. When people get into a mess, they generally get into a mess by themselves because they get bitter. Mm-hmm. And when they get bitter, they don't get better. They never get better.
Yeah.
In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men. How many men?
All
men. So follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you. See, he's already troubled. And here's what happens when you let that thing go and you keep staying bitter, and thereby many be defiled. It starts affecting everybody around you. We got old tree out in the yard out there, and I noticed something. It's starting to affect other things from the roots growing under into other things. It affects everything around it. And that's what bitterness does. It gets sown in somebody, and next thing you know, they're bitter, and they trouble themselves, and then all of a sudden everybody around them gets a taste of it.
Yeah.
I don't like salt water. They call that water what? It's bitter. I don't like bitter coffee. Brother Fain don't like bitter coffee. We've discussed that. We don't like bitter stuff like that. And so here's the problem we run into. When you taste something bitter, what do you do with it? Spit it out. Guess what? It gets all over everybody.
Yeah.
It affects many. Many be defiled by that very thing. But as we look today at the bitter brother, back over in Luke chapter 15, we see this characteristics of this bitter brother. And the first thing you notice about people that's bitter, we see it in him. We see his criticism. Back in verse 25 of Luke chapter 15, he was disconnected from his own family. Because it says in verse 25, verse 26, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. There was no joy in this house while the younger son was gone." They were not expecting him to come back and say, "I'll be as thy hired servants." They were expecting to hear that he had passed away out there in the far country. Because too often times when somebody like that younger son goes out and they're wasteful like that, they usually wind up dead. That's what they was waiting on. They was waiting on Blakely's to come let them know, or the highway patrol come let them know, as we have in our modern day. And he says he called one of the servants in verse 26 and asked what these things meant. He was so disconnected from what was going on with his own family, he had no idea anything had happened. And it says in verse 27, this is where his criticism comes in, because he's not only disconnected, but he is dissatisfied. It said, "He said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Boy, that burnt him up. There's that boy done went out, spent all that, wasted all his living. He comes back, and they got music and dancing going. Criticism. Why they don't do that for me? I spot bitter people in this church. One time church gave me a nice suit and gave me a ring for my college graduation, gave me $100 bill, and the first guy come up and said, "I wish somebody would give me a nice suit and $100 bill. I said, "There he is right there. There's the bitter brother right there. Hey, that criticism starts to flow. Well, they won't do nothing like that for me, and I stand for the truth all the time. They won't ever do nothing like that for me. I've been here the whole time. Yet when y'all go running out that door and come back, then everybody's like, "Oh, we're so glad to see you back." Oh, bitter.
Yep.
Been bitter the whole time. He didn't just start being bitter when this showed up. This has already been going on.
Right.
He's bitter before he left.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when you see a bunch of criticism fall on people like that, and somebody like this guy here start being critical like that, they're not critical of just a few things. They're critical of everything. Nobody cuts the cheese like they do. Nobody cuts the mustard like they do. Nobody can do it like they do. Nobody can talk like they can talk. Nobody can sing like they can sing. And nobody can dance like they dance. How dare you play music and dance when I'm not around? That's what he's doing. Criticizing. That critical spirit gets hold of somebody. I want you to notice, if you got a Scofield Bible right before verse 25, they call this kid the Pharisee. What a fitting description for this individual. Because this is exactly what they do when somebody gets right with God.
Yeah.
Somebody gets saved, you know what you hear out of the bitter brother? We'll see if it's real. We'll see if it's real. By the way, they said that about you. He's just doing that because he's in trouble. That's usually when God gets to some people. They have to get in trouble. Well, they're just doing that because they're sick. Let them get well. We'll see. Well, they've gotten well.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten well. Are you still bitter? See how that works right there?
Okay.
Well, I don't believe they really got saved. Well, define really got saved to me. Because I hear people talking all that stuff. And I hear people say, "Well, if they was really saved, they'd blah, blah, blah." Not the Bible rules, your rules. That criticism comes in. And that's the characteristics of a bitter brother right here. I want you to notice also, look at verse 28. He was real cold. We see his criticism. We see also his coldness. It said, "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." He was what? You find out the most bitter people have an anger problem about them. Their anger comes out before their smile does. If you see their teeth, they're gritting them. Why are they like that? Because they're bitter. How'd they get like that? Heaven only knows, but they're bitter. And usually what happens when somebody's bitter, they got anger issues. I got a couple of dogs, and when they barking, it's usually because something's going on. Mm-hmm. This crowd barking anything. Right? I mean, listen, when we see this younger brother show back up, I'd be glad to find out my brother was still alive after what he went through.
Right.
Did he make mistakes? Sure.
Yeah.
But I see a big mistake here. Somebody's got heart problems and won't admit it, and it's turned into anger problems, and he's taking it out on everybody else. Ain't it funny how somebody like that would stand outside the church house and say, "Well, they ain't right with God." Why would you do that?
Yeah.
You're bitter. That's why you're doing it. You've gotten cold on the house of God. You got cold. They won't go in because they're cold on the things of God. When I see people get cold on the things of God, and I look at that critical spirit and that coldness, I know they're bitter. They've got bitterness in their heart. They've done that. They've allowed something to come in. It's unconfessed sin. Maybe they're just lost. I don't know. But I know this. I see who went after him. In spite of the criticism, in spite of the coldness, the father walked out the door and went and tried to get the guy. Do you know that a lot of people have never understood this, but when everybody gives up on you, God won't give up on you?
That's right.
Well, we need to go visit such and such. Why not let God visit with them? If God the Father can't turn them around, there is no turning around.
Right.
You're going to see bitterness on display from this kid. You see anger coming out. He wouldn't go in because he was cold towards the family and everything like that. And I've looked at this and looked at this, and I can't get around that thing. He was angry. Why would you be so angry? Can I tell you something? This kid ain't lost a dime over it.
Yep.
He ain't like he had an enabling parent. See, if this man would have been an enabling parent, he'd have spent all his money on the little young kid that went out and kept trying to bail him out, and then there wouldn't have been nothing left. But instead, he divided it equally amongst them. There was no, he got more than I did. You could halfway see his point then. But he got the same thing. His inheritance was not defiled. Nothing. He got what was coming to him. But yet, he's bitter, and he's outside the house. You know, when I was lost, if you'd told me Christian people and church people act like this, I'd probably never came back in the door. I used to go to church when I was growing up. I went for 14 years, birth till I could walk away from it. And when I walked away from it, when I got back 10 years later, I didn't know anybody was saying about me, well, if he's really saved, he'll do such and such. We'll know in a year. We'll know after he's getting baptized. That's usually a good time to tell. You baptize them, it's like the rapture. They disappear. We'll find out. We'll find out come such and such.
Yeah.
Why not give the kid a chance?
Amen.
Do you know the Bible teaches us? Listen to this. Hold your place here and look over at Romans. I think it's Romans 13 or 14. I'll find it. You head that way and I'll find it. Romans 14. This is a church epistle written to church people that are saved. It tells you how to handle new converts when they come in the house of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to let them come in and treat them like they saved. Are they saved? Well, them and God knows. I don't know if you saved. I just know this. When somebody comes in, they knew. I know this. When new converts come in, they're going to smell like the world when they first come in. It shocks me when they don't. They're going to act like the world when they first come in. You know why? They're still worldly. They ain't got it off of them yet. They just got saved. The inside's been changed. God's working there trying to get the outside changed. I noticed that when we look at this, he said not to doubtful disputation. Well, if they really saved, they'll, you know. No sense in getting bitter on a new convert. Remember when you got saved, how joyous it was? No, you wasn't going to hell.
Amen.
I'll never forget that. I didn't know where Exodus was, but I knew I wasn't going to hell. How about that?
Amen.
You might not really be saved, though, see. I said, well, I'm glad to know this. I didn't know if they was really saved. I didn't know what all that meant, but I knew this. I was glad I was in.
Amen.
That's probably a bitter brother somewhere, well, if they really saved. You know, there's people, Brother Mike, I don't know if it's people at your wedding, but there's people, my wedding taking bets of me and Lisa wouldn't last 6 months. Every one of them has been buried, and I didn't get no money. Ain't that something? Bunch of bitter people. He won't make it. Then when I got saved and started going to that very church, the same people, he won't make it. I didn't know they'd been bitter in church all of them. I didn't even know they went to church. All I knew was at the bar drinking on Saturday night. This there, I didn't know next morning they got up and went to church. I had no idea. They go passing around them. Listen, they went passing around the Lord's Supper. I looked around Sunday night. Half of them wasn't there. So man, what happened to them? And they worried about me being saved.
Yeah.
I looked around Sunday school every other Sunday too. Couldn't find them in there. They worried about me. I said, man, all that bitterness, all that anger, all that stuff, what in the world has happened to people? Here's what's happened. They got bitter over something. I watched this stuff my entire Christian life since the day I got saved. And listen, I've learned this. When people get saved, just treat them like a brother and help them out. There's a kid coming here. Listen, he went to the county jail and he found one of our gospel tracts. And I didn't put it there. Somebody did. And this boy read this gospel tract and got saved up there. He wrote me a letter, said, will you come to the jail and see me? I said, sure will. Went up there and seen the kid. He is facing charges. He said, can you go to court with me? I don't want you to testify. You don't know me. Just come up there with me. I went up there and went to court with him. They went up there and gave him like 6 months or whatever it was. The day he got out of jail, Grandma said, well, if you really saved. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't talk to him like that. She said, who are you? I said, that's Pastor Little you talking to, and I'm telling you the Bible says not to receive the doubtful dispensations. Said, you throw your weight around, all 200 and something pounds of it. I can't stand to see people get treated like that because I got treated like that.
Yeah, right.
That's why when new converts come in here, I don't let y'all jump on them. But y'all don't do that, though, because you know how they feel. Just about everyone here has been treated like that. What happens? Well, if you really saved, you'll find that really saved business again. See, they make salvation sound so difficult. Jesus made it sound so easy. You must be born again. All that come to me, I will no wise cast out. You know, if you really saved. They got to add that stuff in. And by the way, the Bible does say not to add to the Word of God.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Here's the thing. We got a bitter brother. He's critical. He's cold. Look back over to Luke 15. He's got this criticism. He's got this coldness. And then it shows up. The very next thing shows up. Verse 29, we see his pride. We see his comparing. It's a characteristic. He's comparing. We see his comparison. He's cold. He's critical. It says in verse 29, he's got his pride there. It says, and he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time at thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You see the pride beaming out of this kid at this point. And that's not a good characteristic. He's bragging on himself. Listen, I found out something years ago that if you start comparing yourself to people, you'll start competing and you'll always find somebody who's worse off than you to compare yourself to so you can make yourself look good.
Amen.
Now watch. I see all these people and all these sports fans. There'll be one team that'll brag that they got so many championships. And you know what? Somebody else come along. You got 10. My team has 12.
Mm-hmm.
Then another team comes along and says, that ain't nothing. We got 16. And another crowd comes along and says, 16? We got 20. And it just never ends. And then that spills over into the church life. God forbid somebody get saved here this morning. I go tell somebody, because if I do, somebody will say, that ain't nothing. We had two saved. You had one. We had two. And while we stand and have that conversation, somebody comes and says, two? We had five. And it'll go on till they keep lying about it.
Yep.
And if we ask these people, them crowd that you said got saved, what was that Sunday night? Well, they had something to do Sunday night. Yeah, I figured they did. That's only the 10th time they got saved, by the way. 10th or 12th, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But they count this stuff for a reason. They want to brag on what they do. You can't brag about that stuff.
Right.
You brag on Jesus.
Amen.
You brag on Jesus. You tell them what a wonderful Savior He is. I rarely tell anybody when we have people join our church and all this stuff, because I know what's coming. I'll see the comparison coming. Well, you had that many, we had this many. We had 32 join the church. Well, I'd ask myself this question. I'd be calling that pastor they come from and find out why they left there. Because
yep.
They walked out in a business meeting mad, throwing songbooks. I'd listen, guess what they're going to do at your place?
Come up.
Throwing in songbooks at yours. It won't take long because they'll bring all that bitterness, all that criticism, all that coldness, and all that pride with them. And they'll be throwing your songbooks next. You ever wonder why these crowds start to put it on the screen now? They're tired of having to buy hymn books while these people are throwing them at each other all the time. Amen and amen. Let's just be honest here. I wonder sometimes about people that get this pride stuff. But of course with pride, there always comes the next word. You know what that is? Protest. protest. Here's the protest in verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Man, he's got his pride going. He's got his protest going. Why, he's trying to compare himself to his brother that's wasted everything to show how good a kid he is. I don't think he's a good kid. I think he's a bitter kid. I think his criticism show it. I think literally his coldness has showed this on him. And now he's in comparison. His pride. We see all this stuff, that protest starting. And by the way, can I tell you something? God's people don't have to be prideful because that's a sin. And we don't ever have to protest anything because we got prayer that will get the job done. Amen. Somebody asked me one time if doing something at the courthouse, you going to go up there and protest with us? Absolutely not. I ain't protesting Disney World. I ain't protesting Mickey Mouse. I ain't protesting Bugs Bunny. I ain't protesting none of that stuff. I ain't protesting the police. I ain't doing none of that stuff. We're going to pray. That's how they always get it done in the Bible. God's people show up to protest, God might send something.
Amen.
And not to the people they're protesting, but to them. But we get down and we humble ourselves and pray, God begins to move.
Right.
That's how this works. And when we don't pray, we see all this pride and protest show up. We see all this comparing going on. But then we see something show up that he wasn't ready for. Look at verse 31. We see his correction. See, God has a way to send you the word that you need. And in verse 31, he was informed that it did not affect him what went on with his son. Verse 31, this is what the father said to him. And he said to him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He had already got half of it, and the money his father had made since then, he was going to get half of that. And beside all that, he didn't have to spend one night in the hog pen. He didn't have to eat the corn husk that's been eaten up by a hog one night or other people. He didn't have to eat out of the slop bucket. He didn't have to wallow around that stuff trying to fight a pig over a piece of chicken bone. He's still in there with all that.
Yeah.
If I had to pick the path to go, I'd rather stay with the father than go out and have to learn it the hard way.
Right.
More people than not learn lessons the wrong way.
Yep.
If you're hard-headed, guess what? God knows how to get through your hard head.
Amen.
He will use any means necessary if he intends to get you. And I see this brother sitting there, he's got a harder head than the one went out. He said, thou art ever with me. He is informed that it did not affect him what was going on in that house. He ought to be glad for that. Listen, I got to look at this fellow, I got to look at him, I kept thinking, his correction came because of one reason. You know what it was? He needed it. You think I come here and preach to you because I'm mad or something? I have to get loud so you hear me. Why is that? Because people don't listen. But if you think I'm mad, you'll tune in. I know, preacher, you already told them today. No, I'm telling you.
Amen.
You'll either be that prodigal or that bitter brother if you ain't careful, one or the other.
Yeah, right.
And I look at this bitter brother and I think to myself, how many people we got sitting in church like that? In our church, not some other church. I'm talking about this church. Every time a prodigal comes back, somebody says, yeah, they won't make it. I bet they won't be here next week. You keep being bitter like that, you won't be here next week. Bitterness eats you alive. See, bitterness, that old saying is, bitterness is like a poison that you think you can drink it and make the other guy sick. And it don't work that way. I noticed that his correction says that verse 32, he is informed why it did not affect him. It says in verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Why didn't it affect him? Because he wasn't the one out there eating the pig slop. He got to stay there the whole time. That's why it didn't affect him. He didn't have to go out there and eat all that. But see, you got to ask yourself this question. Are you bitter like this man? There's three ways you can know. Number one, does it bother you when somebody gets saved? Let me give you some examples. What if you heard this playing out the parking lot? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And here come old Joe walking in with Secret Service and all this and said, I need that pew you're sitting on. Secret Service said, would you please move? Well, you'd be mad. You'd get up and storm over to another pew like that. He'd park it in here. We'd preach him a red-hot message. Holy Ghost deal with him. Him get saved. Would you say, we'll see him by next week if he's really saved? Would it bother you if he got saved?
Come on.
How about that? Everybody has got somebody that hates them or multiple people that hate them. Depending on what kind of jerk you are, you have more than one.
Right.
What would you do if they got saved?
Come on.
I heard some news today. What's that? Your worst enemy got saved today. Well, they better not come to church here. Be careful. You'll hurt that enamel on them teeth, biting them teeth like that. Would it bother you that bad? Number one, does it bother you when somebody gets saved? Number two, do you criticize new converts? Do you criticize new converts? I wonder what happened if new converts come to church and knew what we really thought of them. Well, we'll see if they really saved. I've told this story 100 times. I had a bunch of Pharisees preach from them one time in this preacher's fellowship and got up and preached on, did Michael Vick get saved? Boy, they're so mad they couldn't stand it. Especially since it was in Georgia where it happened. I mean, you talking about the Pharisee arm cross, it was all across the room. I said, I see I'm in the right place with the right message. And boy, I had to sit by myself at lunch that day. But I stand by this. If Michael Vick did everything he said, he got saved.
Yep.
I don't know him personally. He might be okay in real life. I don't know him. Did he do wrong things? Of course he did. That's why he went to jail. Okay? But I noticed this. I used to pastor a bunch of bitter people, and the only relief I got was going and preaching in prison to a bunch of people that love God, and I'd rather have preached there back then than preach here half the time, because everybody kept looking at me, crossing their arms, snarling at me, telling me they hated my guts, and all this other, and called me fat, Ben. Called me fat! How dare they? None of them convicts ever called me fat. You come back tomorrow, brother?
Right.
We like that mess. You come back tomorrow and preach? And then after a while, I got noticed I had two or three over there got mad at me. That's all curse followers, though.
Uh-oh.
Curseites. Or as we called them back then, Campbellites.
Yep.
And I don't mean Church of Christ, that's following Renee. So me and Renee pulled a joke on him one day. We figured, since we preached every Tuesday, I preached at 5 and he preached at 7. My crowd would come at 5 and his crowd would come at 7 because my crowd liked me and hated him and his crowd liked him and hated me. So we flipped on him and Renee preached at 5 and I preached at 7. And boy, you talking about some joyous people in them services. How dare you do that to me? So then they had to show up at both of them hoping their favorite preacher showed up. Not we. Listen, half the time we had both preached just to get mad, getting stirred up real good. But you know what finally happened? They finally realized we was preaching the exact same thing.
Yeah.
They finally realized we was all brethren.
Yeah.
By the way, that was when all... See, people hear the name John Fox. That's when they was in the joint.
Yeah.
You know, the good crowd. Just done so good. Well, they had to go through it too. You got to go through it. God get all that out of you. And this bitter brother, he didn't like to hear about new converts coming in. But see, here's another thing. So do you like people getting saved? Do you criticize new converts? Here's one thing. Number three is this about being bitter. Do you hate to see people get right with each other and with the Lord? Talking about strictly saved people now. When somebody's saved and they go off the reservation real bad and they get out in a mess, if they come back and apologize, do you accept their apology? They come to you and say, I did this and I did this and I did this. Did I do anything else? And ask y'all that? Well, you did this too. Okay, I did that. I'm sorry for all that. I was wrong. I want you to forgive me.
Amen.
Do you forgive them people? Or do you say, I'm going to forgive them, but I'm not going to forget? Boy, if God started doing that, where would we be at? Remember what he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know why? The Bible said he chooses not to remember it no more. I think we need to do the same.
Because
I've had people apologize to me for things I didn't know they was mad about. Well, I'm gonna forgive you, but we'd never get along after that. How you doing? Fine. That's what they'd get. You okay? I'm fine. What's wrong with you? Nothing. That's what they'd get.
Yep.
But I forgive you. See how that works?
Yep.
My wife said, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me.
Oh.
That's how that works. Because that bitterness would be eating me alive. But I found out if I say, yeah, I forgive you, because how could I hold something against you when the Lord didn't hold all that against me?
Right.
And I've done far more against Him than you've ever done against me. And I want to say this. These times, I know I've let God down. I did things I shouldn't have. I went to Him and said, Lord, I am sorry. And God said, you're forgiven.
Amen.
And sometimes, listen, I have to go to the Bible and say, Lord, before I even come to you, I got this verse, and you said this. And He forgives me. So if somebody come to me that wronged me, or done wrong, or got out in the world, or whatever, if they come back and apologize for it, what is it I'm supposed to do again?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I forgive you, but, you know, I got this list of stuff, and, you know, it's a pretty good thick book I got on you here, with pictures, and, you know, some of it's handwritten, by the way, and, you know, you did all this, I'm going to forgive you, but... What would that be like?
Yeah.
You know what I say, dude? I say, let's just forgive them and go on. Because if we don't, you know what's going to happen? They're not going to suffer. We are.
Yeah.
We're going to suffer. And I see a lot of people suffering because they will not forgive somebody else.
Yeah.
You've got to understand, you can either die bitter or you can live better.
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.